If you were at the store and you were in line and the cashier began a conversation with the person in front of you, and they started talking, and it, you know, here you are waiting for them to ring you up, you know, what would you do? You know, let me give you three options. Let me give you three options. Number one, would you wait patiently? Would you? Oh, so y'all don't even want to hear the other two, right? All right. Would you wait patiently? Would you meditate and quote scripture while you stood there? Or would you say something to the person? I think that most of us would probably say something now.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of waiting, focusing on what God is doing in us or for us. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of waiting, focusing on what God is doing in us or for us.
And the Lord said, yes. And he said, well, Lord, give me a penny. He said, well, wait here for a minute. but to be so in tune with the heart of God. Have you ever, you know, there are times that I feel in my life that I'm just in tune with God. You know, I one of the things that I love is whenever you watch football, and I used to be a football coach, so you know I know this. And the average person watching this might not understand this, but a lot of times when the quarterback goes back to throw a pass, and the wide receiver is running, if you really watch, if they showed you, a lot of times before the receiver even turned around, before he even turns around, if he's going to turn this way, if he's going to turn that way, or if he's going to keep running straight, he knows. The quarterback knows. Before he even turns, the ball is in the air. The ball is in the air. And so a lot of times he just, and it's there. And I believe that as we stay focused on God, that we will have that kind of relationship where God goes back to throw us a pass of what we're waiting for. And then, you know, we know when, oh, man. We know when to make the break. That I'm so in tune, I'm so focused on God that as soon as God says, just go out. Just go out for the pass. I remember when we were kids, right? What would you say? Just go long, man. Just go long. And so you go long. And half the time, man, you know, whoever was throwing the ball couldn't get it to you. So you'd be like, come on, man. Come on. Can't you throw? But we don't have to get that way with God. That if we are in tune with God, let me read this again. Notice what the psalmist said. The psalmist said, he said, my soul, wait thou. Look at this. He didn't say upon God. He said only upon God. Only. Nothing else. Don't let anything else edge in or crowd out what I'm waiting on, because God, I'm only going to wait on you, that you are going to be my focus. And would to God. And I hope, and again, I preach this message for several reasons. You know, number one, for you and your personal life. I don't know what it is that you're waiting on, but if you have a divided mind, if your mind is divided between, you know, trusting God and then going over here and try to manipulate, that's not focusing on God. And I would hope that we as a church, we're at a point right now that we're like the guy on the trapeze with this stewardship campaign. We're in the middle of the air, and we're waiting for God to throw us a trapeze. You know, it was exciting. I had a guy send me an email. I forwarded the email to Russell. He said, you know, the Lord spoke to my heart. He has a foundation. He said, the Lord spoke to my heart about giving to your stewardship campaign. Now again, keep this in mind. You know, usually people with foundations, and those of you who are in the foundation world, you know this, they don't give to people building a church. They give to community work. They give to, you know, if you have a community center, they give to that. They don't give to brick and mortar church. Well, here we are. The guy on the trapeze in the middle of the air. And God is, he's throwing it so we can catch on to it. And saints, you know, we resist at the whole idea of waiting because we are not in control. But maybe that's the best place for us to be, where you're not in control. Because then, we, you know, what happens? When we're not in control, then, and we say, I can't do this. Well, what does God say? God said, okay, let me roll up my sleeve, and I can get to work, and I can do something now. But as long as you're in control, and you, God, he said, well, you know, let's go ahead. I told you about the time that I went swimming with my buddies at the Y, and they all knew how to swim. And they said, come on, Blaze, you know, down to 10 feet, right? Come on, Blaze, jump in. You know, we'll help you. So I'm bigger than all of them, right? So my first mistake was agreeing on that. That was my first mistake. My second mistake is that I didn't jump in. I dove in. And, you know, I literally know what it means when it says you see your life flash before your eyes. Because I knew, you know, when, you know one of the scariest things in the world? And some of y'all might have experienced this. One of the scariest things in the world is to be going down and don't feel your feet touch the bottom. Oh, man. That will freak you out. And I think when that happened, that's when I started to panic. And I could feel my friends, and they was, and one of them had one, you know, they got that long pole there on the side, right? They were trying to, I was trying to grab it. And just so happened that one of my friends, his older brother, was there that day. And when I didn't have any more fight left, no more fight left, he came. He grabbed me, and he swam and put me up on the side of the pool. And they started pumping water out of me and everything else. But notice what had to happen. I had to get all the fight out. You know, now think about this. You got to be the biggest fool in the world to try to go save somebody that's drowning when they're fighting. Because what's going to happen? They're going to take you down. So you got to wait till they get the fight out of them. And when they get the fight out, then you can help them. And, you know, I kind of think that God is the same way. I kind of think that God says, well, you know, as long as you got some fight in you, as long as you got some I can do this in you, he said, go ahead with your bad self. And then you get to the point where you say, I can't do it. And then God says, okay. So we need to focus on God. We see that during this time, another strand that's making us strong is for us to be patient. It's for us to be patient. That's going to strengthen. Here you go, man. Your rope is getting you. You're building that knot. You're building a knot. Man, just think of, now you got four strands that are working there. And you're getting stronger while you're waiting. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in the way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. While waiting, it is easy to get nervous and jump the gun. Especially when we see people, especially when we see people who are not waiting on God, who are prospering. Now, that's what the psalmist said. Look at that verse again. Psalm 37, verse 7. That's exactly what he's saying. He says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Don't fret yourself because of who? The one that's prospering. There's people that's not waiting on God. And they got the crib. There's people that's not waiting on God, and they got the ride. You know, you still being chauffeured by Pat. There's people who are not trusting God, and he provided a spouse for them. So, you know, you got to look at the fact that, you know, you can't look at people. But, you know, when you're waiting on God, he says, don't fret yourself because of people. You see people around you prosper. You know, it's very easy to get your eyes off of God and say, wow, man, you know, man, he don't even go to church. Look what he got. You know, he don't even... As a matter of fact, I hear him take God's name in vain. Look what he got. And then, you know, you start saying, well, you know, maybe I deserve to have it right now. And then you go out and you make all the arrangements to get what God tells you to wait on him for, and you go out and do it. And then you get out there and you find that you made the biggest mistake in your life. You know, the Proverbs, it says that the blessings of the Lord, it makes rich, and with it he adds no sorrow. Well, what does that mean? That means if you're blessed by God, that you're not going to struggle on how you're going to make... Oh. God is not going to bless you and then cause whatever he blesses you with to be a burden and a curse. Oh, somebody hit me. People say, I've been blessed. God blessed me. You got all kind of problems attached with that blessing. All kind of problems attached with the blessing. And you got to come back and say, something's not right here. Something's not right. And so he says, don't fret yourself because of those that prosper. But notice what he also says here. He says, and don't become fretful because of the person who brings wicked devices to pass. See, when you out there trusting and waiting, be assured that somebody's going to come and say something negative. That somebody's gonna come and ridicule you. What are you doing? And see, we don't wanna say, you know, here we go now, right? I'm waiting on God. You know, because we don't, you know, we don't want to proclaim it because now, you know, the heathen is checking us. So I'm waiting on God, you know. Instead of loudly proclaiming, I'm waiting on God. You know, I didn't bring the verses up, but when I was studying, there's three times in the Psalms. Three times in the Psalms, it says, and those of you who have those smartphones and smart Bibles, you probably can check it while I'm up here preaching. But three times it says, Lord, let those who wait on you be not ashamed. Wow. Wow. Lord, let those who are waiting on you, don't let them be ashamed, Lord. That they're out here and they're saying that they trust you. They're out here and they're saying that they love God. They're out here and they're saying that they wait on God. And Lord, if this deal falls through, it's not my name. You know what I'm saying? If I'm trusting God and this deal falls through, it's not my name. But Lord, that is your name. And so we need to, if we know that this is God, we need to step on out there and rest and... But there's so much more that I can say, you know, that about even the idea of rest. Watch this. Watch this. You know, put that verse back up there again. You know, the word rest, 37:7. The word rest. All right. 37:7. Thank you. The word rest. You know what it means in the Hebrew? To be silent. To be silent, to shut your mouth. Because we want to run our mouth whenever we wait. Oh, man, you know, God told me to wait. I wonder, you know, what? And see, when you do that, there goes one of the strands. You just took one of the strands out. He said, be silent. You know, don't be like the little kid, you know, whatever the child is being disciplined. And then you say, well, you didn't sit here. And what's the first? Can I get up now? Can I get up now? Well, instead of waiting, God, can I get up? God, you going to give it to me now? You going to take care of it now? Be quiet. Be silent. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And what's happening? What's happening while you're waiting? you're getting stronger. Those cords are being bound
together.
The strand of patience. The next strand that we see is the strand of expectation. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Now, you know, the psalmist has given us a beautiful word picture here. I don't know if anybody here has ever, I know I used to work in the mill, and I worked swing shift, 8 to 4, 4 to 12, and 12 to 8. And, you know, one of the shifts that I didn't like was that midnight shift, that 12 to 8 shift. And because, you know, it seemed like the nights, man, just kind of drug on long. And, it, you know, around 6 or 7 o'clock, you know, you began to look for what? Is it getting light out there? Why? Because you knew that as it got light, what was going to happen? That the next crew was coming. The psalmist says, Lord, I wait for you, expecting. Lord, just like I look for the morning light, and when I see the morning light coming in, I expect the fact that this next crew is coming. I watch for you more than they that watch for the morning, than they that look for the morning. Are you got to wait on God expectantly. You got to expect God to do something. No, notice in the next verse, if you look in the notes, look at that next one. It's talking about the animals as we go to Psalm 104. You don't have to turn there, but if we were to turn to Psalm 104, it says that these all wait upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. That they wait. The animals wait on God. And how do they wait? They wait expectantly. They expect God to work this thing out. They expect God. And so as I'm tying my strands together, right? I'm tying them together. I'm tying my Bible reading, my prayer, my patience. What else I add in there? Expecting. I'm expecting God to work. And now I'm getting stronger. And it's not about the thing that I'm waiting for now. It's all about me. And it's about me getting stronger. Look at that next verse in the notes. Psalm from one Psalm 123, verse 2. Behold, as the eyes of the servants look upon their master's hands, the servant is totally dependent upon the master. He's expecting the master to meet his needs. As the eyes of the maiden unto the hand of her mistress, that she's expecting her mistress to provide, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that we have mercy upon us. Just like the servants wait upon their masters and expect them, fully expect them to meet their need. We have to expect that God is going to do it. That if I'm waiting and I know that this is, I'm waiting on God's time, I'm waiting on his plan, I'm waiting, then I'm expecting. You know, the birds, it says that the animals, that they wait with their mouths open, expectantly. There was a guy that just started preaching, and he preached one of his first sermons, and he got done, and he was kind of discouraged because he knew there was a bunch of people that weren't saved, and he gave the invitation, nobody came forward, and he walked down out of the pulpit, and there was an older pastor that was standing out the bottom of the pulpit, and he said, man, he said, I don't understand it. He said, preach the gospel. He said, nobody got saved. And the old pastor said, well, you didn't really expect anybody to get saved, did you? And he said, no, I didn't. That's why nobody got saved. You got to expect it. You got to believe that at the end of waiting, I believe at the end of waiting, sometime, and again, we're waiting on God, but I believe sometime now in 2017 that we're going to see the building, all right? I'm still expecting. I was expecting 2016 that at least it was going to be up, but now I'm expecting at some point. I know that God is going to do this. I know he's going to do it. I expect. There's no question in my mind. It's just a matter of when He's going to do it. And so whatever it is, you got to wait. You got to believe that God is going to work out the best in your life. And then we see, let me rush on here, the strand of obedience. The strand of obedience. Psalm 37, verse 34, wait on the Lord and keep his way. So again, you got to be obedient. If you're not doing what the Lord tells you to do, then you can wait until the cows come home and nothing is going to happen. And then finally, the strand of endurance. The strand of endurance. Look what the psalmist said here. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dry. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. And sometimes waiting might be painful. Sometimes you might have to go through something when you wait. I like that song. It said, trouble in my way, I got to cry sometimes. Trouble in my way, I got to cry. Well, what am I? I'm waiting. And sometimes going through waiting, that you're going to see things, and it's going to want to make you cry. Sometimes you're going to be crying out, oh, God, oh, Lord, and your throat is going to be dry. Sometimes you're going to be crying out, and it just seems like you don't have a tear left to dry. Cry. Keep on enduring. Keep on waiting. Don't get worn out, but keep on waiting. And that's what happens with a lot of people. They start going through these emotional experiences, this emotional turmoil, and then they take the situation into their own hands because they don't want to hurt anymore. They don't want to cry anymore. They don't want to holler anymore. And so they take it into their own hands. The psalmist said, Lord, I'm crying. He said, my throat is hurting. He said, well, I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you, God. I'm waiting on you. And then what are some of the blessings? What are some of the blessings of waiting on the Lord? You create a rope. The waiter becomes stronger. The waiter become stronger. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall, what? Strengthen thy heart. When you wait, you're getting stronger. When you wait, you're getting stronger. God's perfect will is accomplished. Psalm 52, 9. I will praise thee forever. Look at this. Look at this. No, don't miss this now. Because what? Because thou hast done it. Did you hear that? I will praise thee forever because you have done it. Whatever it was, Lord, you can do it. You have done it. And I will wait on thy name, for it is good before the saints. And then, yeah, he will. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. And then the waiter is blessed. The waiter is blessed. Wait on the Lord and keep his way. And he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. There's a blessing. There's a blessing waiting for you at the end of waiting. So look at these three things. You become stronger. God's will is accomplished. And you're blessed. That's a deal that you can't pass up. But many people do.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of A Godly Influence, Make Me Want to Holler, Throw Up Both My Hands, Part 1, from Psalm chapter 11. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Waiting, Focusing on What God is Doing in Us or For Us, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Waiting, Focusing on What God is Doing in Us or For Us. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Waiting, Focusing on What God is Doing in Us or For Us. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.